Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray's producing and engineering the show today on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday. It is June 6, 2016, today being the 72nd anniversary of the D-Day invasion of Europe. I hope we never forget the sacrifice of all those who died that day on the beaches of Normandy, France, 72 years ago, D-Day. We are coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, the Buckmaster Show. Also has live streaming at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line number is 790-2040 for your calls, questions, comments, and suggestions. We invite you to become a friend of our program on Facebook. In addition, you can follow us on Twitter at Buckmaster Show, and we are going to begin with our Monday political face-off. But coming up at 12:30, it's always an honor to speak with General John Wickham, the former Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army. He'll be joining us for his monthly visit, but first we have our Monday political face-off. Today we have Bruce Ash with us. Mr. Ash is in his third term.
Fourth term.
I need to change my copy here. Fourth term, recently reelected as the Republican National Committeeman from Arizona. He's also just back from the island of Taiwan. He will tell us about that trip over there. Joe Holt is here. Joe is a former state legislative candidate, now chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Joe, how are you?
I am great today, Bill. And if I could just mention, my father was on the Normandy beachhead on D-Day. And
unbelievable.
He was one who came home, and I will never, ever forget June 6th.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Bruce, it's good to see you. You had a successful trip. You were among almost 50 Americans who were at the inauguration of the new Taiwanese president, but you were with a group of two other individuals who were the only political people.
Right. I was there with the state party chairman in Idaho, Steve Yates, who was the former national security advisor to Vice President Cheney for Far Eastern Affairs, a very well-known person throughout China and throughout Taiwan, and also Solomon Yu, an immigrant from Shanghai who came here seeking personal freedom, political freedom there. He was certainly threatened as a young man. And it was a great trip. We presented to newly sworn-in President Tsai a copy of the RNC resolution reinstating our commitment to Reagan's six assurances. And that was also passed by the U.S. House in a non-binding resolution just the week before our trip. And it was a great trip. It was we had a lot of chance to talk with foreign ministry officials while we were there. Lots of smart guys from the Brookings Institute and RAND, and there was a former CIA station chief or two amongst us. Paul Wolfowitz, the former president of the World Bank, was with us. I think it was a great success. And then we went on to Hong Kong and met with Republicans overseas there.
Well, an article that caught my eye over the weekend in the Wall Street Journal, it was titled "A Guaranteed Income for All, Replacing the Welfare State with an Annual $30,000 Grant." That's every year, $30,000 for every American adult. This, according to the author, scholar Charles Murray, is the best way to cope with job displacement and to revive what he says is our civic culture. Mr. Murray is the author of a book advocating a universal basic income. The book is titled "In Our Hands, A Plan to Replace the Welfare State." Joe Holt, what do you think about that idea?
I'm not particularly favorable to that idea. In the first place, when someone suggests, oh, here's a fix for some of the things that are really wrong right now in terms of the economy, I want to see something about the inequality of the distribution of wealth in this country first. I want to see people pay their fair share in income taxes, and how are you going to define fair share? But this idea, which is not the new idea of the universal basic income, really is, I think, a really good way to just kind of package up those people who need help, set them over to the side, say, okay, y'all have your $30,000 a year, y'all shut up.
Yeah, and you're not going to get anything more.
That's it, and you got no excuses now. And, by the way, we're going to take the whole social structure of existing government. Social benefit structure, which has many flaws in it, but so does everything else.
It would be gone under this
system. And you wipe
that
out. Yeah.
Bruce Ash?
I don't know.
Well, first of all, thank you, Joe, for appearing here today. First time we've had an opportunity to meet.
You're much
nicer to sit across the way than Paul Eckerstrom, by the way.
Cheap shot.
I'm not sure how to take that, but thank you.
Take it well. I mean it sincerely. And I agree with you, maybe for some different reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, we've spent nearly $18 trillion on the war on poverty, if you will, since Lyndon Johnson declared that war in 1964. And I'm not sure that this is any better of an idea. Mr. Murray's plan, though, kind of falls down, where he talks about the benefits essentially replacing Social Security and Medicare and a bunch of other things that would have to be now directly funneled to individuals. And I'm not sure that's a starter with either political side or another. But the main thing I would say is, you know, look at Switzerland. Switzerland is actually voting on this almost exact same idea, maybe some difference in the details right now. I think in the next month or so, they're going to be voting on this. And it's not really very well thought of within Switzerland, which is a pretty progressive, pretty liberal place. I was joking with a friend of mine. It depends upon who shows up. The Germans in Switzerland or the French in Germany, you know, or the French in Switzerland, whether or not it passes. But, you know, when you look at the details in Mr. Murray's plan, you see where really it starts falling down. I mean, frankly, and I know you may find this hard to believe, I actually think that this may not be a bad idea if at the same time we were able to kind of talk to some degree about your ideas about inequality. At the same time that we would do something like this, we should also deregulate and create a whole different setup for corporations, eliminate the corporate giveaways and the subsidies that corporations get, and really unleash the American economy, technology, you know, the intellectual power of this great economy to do more things and better things, bring jobs back to this country. I think, and probably you would agree also, people want to work. There's a basic human sort of dignity to work, and there's a lot of people who really have lost the ability to work over the past several years. And this is not a knock on Barack Obama. This started happening when George W. Bush was president, and we've lost a lot of jobs, and sort of we haven't caught up as an economy to the intellectual power that we really need to be the great economy of the 21st century.
You know, it is interesting how difficult it is for social structures to keep up with changes in technology, and changes in technology happen at such a fast, they have a very short half-life, right? It's just boom, 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 and you have a whole different world. And the social structures that we rely upon actually are lagging behind.
And, well, when you look at how quickly, you know, our knowledge keeps doubling, you know, and you know, we're still teaching school the way we taught school 40 or 50 years ago. It's still 9 months of the year. You know, there's a lot of people who really they may have incentives to go on to secondary education, but it's become so expensive for so many to be able to do that. And some people, you know, they probably ought to go into some other sort of training, you know, for a trade and so on. I mean, we're not keeping pace. And I'm not sure the rest of the world is able to do it any better than us. But for us to continue our world leadership in this century, we have to figure out a way to do it. We have to catch up.
Yeah, and haven't we already tried giving money to people? I mean, this was done, you know, decades ago, right? And, you know, poor people don't have enough money, right? So we can fix that by giving them money. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We learned that it doesn't work. And I think Bruce, that you're right, is that people want to work. There's a dignity in work and in producing something and feeling good about that.
You bet.
All right, coming up on 12:15, Mr. Ash, Bruce Ash, and Joe Holt, seemingly pretty much in agreement on the universal basic income idea. We'll move on to something I know that they will not be disagree on, and that will be coming up on Mr. Trump right after we take a break. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Joe Holt here and Bruce Ash. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show. This is Bill Buckmaster with some exciting news. You could win a $1,000 or a $500 travel voucher to one of 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson International Airport in the Travel Smart with TUS contest. Register for free through Tucson International Airport's Facebook or Twitter pages, or go to the website TravelSmartTUS.com. Good luck. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, 1219 on this very hot one more day, maybe, of this really, really hot weather. Maybe. What was it, 106 already or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so who knows? After it gets to be 110, it's pretty hard
to
tell.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Bruce Ash is seated to the right of me, and Joe Holt is here. Joe is the Democratic Party chair, and as we mentioned at the top of the program, this is the 72nd anniversary of the Normandy invasion, and Joe shared with us that her dad was at the Normandy invasion and luckily went through the whole war without any injuries, physically anyway, but something like that, going through that whole experience, it was probably hard, like many vets, to even share his experiences, right, Joe?
And it really was, and it was something that you felt that you needed to give him room and respect that he really didn't feel like talking about it until much later in life, and then he did open up and talk about it. So I can't imagine. Mm. I mean, you always try to put yourself in someone else's shoes, you know, and think about things from another perspective.
Right.
I can't go. I don't even know how to go there.
Mm. Bruce Ash, there was some good news about a World War II, well, the USS Arizona Memorial.
Yeah, you bet. Bill Westcott led a group of local folks who initiated a drive to build a concrete ribbon on the mall of the University of Arizona, right in front of the Student Union Memorial Building, that is the exact shape and dimension of the USS Arizona.
Whoa.
And to create a memorial, a permanent memorial, that'll have brass plaques for all 1,177 sailors and Marines who lost their life on that ship, many of them still buried in the wreckage of the Arizona, a permanent memorial, bigger than the Pearl Harbor Memorial, and it'll be breathtaking when
That'll
you see
That'll take
this.
Years to build, won't it?
No, it'll be done, the work starting on it right away. We raised all the money. And it'll be done by the time students return in the fall, and hopefully with the 75th commemoration of the Pearl Harbor attacks, ceremony will be right there. There's six survivors from the USS Arizona who still are with us, and we're hoping to have a simulcast between Honolulu and Tucson for a dedication for both.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Joe Holt, Donald Trump has hit a new low, according to Senator Flake of Arizona. And Senator Flake is referring to Mr. Trump's stinging criticism of a Hispanic federal judge who Mr. Trump continues to refer to him as a Mexican, even though the judge was born in this country.
And the judge was born in Indiana or Ohio
right.
or something?
Indiana.
It's, okay, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. So the judge is an American, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yes, right. You know, what can I say about Donald Trump? I say almost nothing about him. I consider him to be a distraction. I think we need to keep talking, both sides, need to keep talking about the real problems that we have in this country. And I still have difficulty grasping that we could have someone of this caliber running for president of the United States. I'd like to see someone in that position as a candidate actually behave in a presidential fashion or a manner.
And she's not alone, obviously.
No, no. Yeah. Look, this business about the judge. I mean, first of all, just from a practical standpoint, you want to be saying this about a judge who's going to be officiating
over
your
trial,
a case, okay?
Of not, Trump University,
not the smartest thing in the world. And from the standpoint of the judge's bona fides, I mean, Joe, there's no question. The guy, he's a citizen of the United States. His parents, he birthed here in the United States. There's no question. He belongs to a group that some people might question some of their motives and their techniques and so on. But this is not, you know, the sort of thing. I mean, if Mr. Trump is thinking straight, he probably wants to get rid of this lawsuit now and move along. I do have to differ with you, though, in terms of strategy. The strategy that a lot of the Republican candidates took was that Donald Trump is a distraction and he was going to go away. He's not going away. And in fact, the problems that we have here in this country are largely because there's tons and tons of people, Democrats as well as Republicans and independents alike, who all believe that for a long time, it's been politics as usual in Washington. Now, if you're a Clinton supporter, a Sanders supporter, if you're a Trump supporter, all of them claim that they want to change the system and make wholesale changes. It'll remain to be seen. You know, you're a political person just like I am. This is one big aircraft carrier to turn around. Now, we've seen some of that certainly since Barack Obama became president in 2009. But typically the voters have an opportunity to speak their mind. It wasn't long until the 2010 elections came along and, you know, the pendulum started to change again and some of the far-reaching legislation stopped at that point in time. A Donald Trump presidency might disturb a lot of Republicans because some of the same executive actions taken by Barack Obama, I think, is going to be the strategy taken by President Trump. It just depends on what side of the aisle you're sitting on, if you like it or don't. But I think that, you know, we're likely to see a lot of that. Congress has to stand up. Jeff Flake can say all he wants about this being a distraction, have you. Mm-hmm. Frankly, Congress hasn't done enough. Whoever's been the president in a long, long time, we saw what the Congress has the opportunity or has the power to do in the Richard Nixon days in the early 1970s. I mean, Congress stood up to that president, and he was impeached. Now, I'm not suggesting impeachment or anything stupid like that, but Congress has the power of the purse. Congress has the ability to overturn executive orders, and simply they haven't.
So you're absolutely right. The thing is who does Congress work for?
Us.
Who are they supposed to work for, and who do they actually work for? Because it's not the majority. They're not working for the majority of people.
Yeah. Joe, there's lots of people who think that the first thing that members of Congress do when they take their oath to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States is to go out and pass some of the goofy laws that they end up passing.
Joe, how is all of this going to play on a local level? I know Democrats feel that the candidate should be asked almost like a litmus test. How do you feel about Mr. Trump? I mean, that is it going to play into the local election?
Well, I think it would probably play into local elections at that level, which is a very politically motivated question that really doesn't get us anywhere, I don't think. But that will be used. But once again, we're keeping our own house in order, and I say that as a Democrat because order can mean different things. Republican Party never should have ignored Donald Trump, but at this point in time, we are concentrated and focused on our own organization. We are actually more organized now than I think that we have been in a very, very long time here in Arizona. And we're working very effectively.
All right.
So I'm looking forward to the fall. I wish that we had a longer general election season here in Arizona.
All right, let's go to the live line. Two calls waiting. Let's see if we can work them both in the little over 2 minutes that we have. Robert, you are first at 790-2040. Hey, Robert.
Hey. I think Trump knows he's guilty as all get out on this university thing, and he's trying to spin this. He knows what the decision's going to be. But, Bruce, I don't remember, before Obama, I don't remember anything about executive orders trumping checks and balances. What is this ballet of executive orders dictating country law whereby it can just be overturned the next? Can you kind of clarify this?
Yeah, well, there have been thousands of executive orders passed or issued by presidential administrations for many, many, many presidential terms. They can be overturned by Congress by a vote, but But the other part is that they do end when the administration ends. But some of the things that are put into place don't get changed just because there is lack of will to overturn them. And that's why Congress has to take the responsibility, and when they think the president, no matter which party is wrong, to speak up and to say something about it.
All right, Vince will be our last caller on the Face-Off today. Go ahead, Vince.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi. Yes, go ahead.
Hi, Bill. Hey, Bruce, how you doing? And,
Good, Nicole. Thank you.
Just wanted to say, I see we're totally on the Trump University thing now. The media has conveniently left the Clinton Foundation, which is far more trouble in the long run, I believe.
But I agree.
We are now talking again about income redistribution. Your guest mentioned it earlier, and the slice of the pie that people don't have. When I watched the debate between Hillary and Bernie, I made it through one. I never once heard the word growth as they were promising all the freebies they were going to outdo each other with, that they were going to give the American people. And they've got everyone believing that the pie is static, it's not dynamic, it cannot be grown. There's only so much money out there. Those rich people are hoarding theirs over in the corner where I see 47% of the people aren't paying any taxes at all. Maybe it's more than that now. And maybe you could explain growth to the audience, Bruce.
Let's have Joe explain that. Joe, what do you think to that? What's your opinion?
Well, I think that historically what we see is that growth occurs when the middle class has money in their pockets. And so when wages will grow at a reasonable rate, then you will also see economic growth. This is obviously pretty simplified, but I'm trying to go quickly here.
Thank you. Yeah. All right, Joe Holt and Bruce Ash, thank you both very much. Appreciate you coming in.
Sure thing.
All right, 12:31 on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Thank you, Moe, and your family for the fine work you do here in the community and supporting our Monday Political Face-Off. General John Wickham will be coming up right after this as we remember D-Day 72 years later. Back right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Amma Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday for our monthly Your Meds segment with Dr. Ray Woosley. Also, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. It's Buckmaster live noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with live streaming, podcasts, and our complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Pushing now toward 12:36 on this Monday afternoon, a very hot day in Tucson, Arizona. But you know, gardening, this is still a great time of year to do some gardening. The reason is the monsoon is just around the corner. So Green Things has all sorts of plants available, including roses and all sorts of beautiful, beautiful plants that they have on a huge acreage over there, 13 acres. They expanded from 4 acres. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Jan and Jack, the owners, care so much about this place, and it's really evident when you're there. Just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out their website, greenthingsaz.com, and they do those wonderful workshops free workshops every Saturday morning at 10. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show. Once a month, it's our honor to have on the contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, who was U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served over 4 decades in the U.S. Army. He's retired in Oro Valley, joins us on the live line. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill, and welcome back from your travels around the world.
We had a great trip. Thank you very much. And want to point out that the Oro Valley Voice had a wonderful article about you, General Wickham. Nice picture of you and your lovely wife, Anne, and all you have done for the community of Oro Valley. And the headline is, General John Wickham, A Life of Distinguished Service, and It Did Not End with Retirement. My friend actually wrote that piece,
Mary Davis.
I was thinking of her middle name, Minor, but it's Mary Davis. I know her as Mary Davis, and she wrote a really great article about you and your career, which has been, to say the least, fantastic. Nice piece.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Well, of course, today is the 72nd anniversary of the Normandy invasion. One of our previous guests on our Monday political face-off, Joe Holt, was with us, the Democratic Party chair, and she was talking about her father was there on D-Day and never talked much about his experience in World War II. General Wickham, where were you during? You were a young man, probably age about 10 or 11 when that happened, but I'm sure you still remember it.
Oh, yeah. And then what I do remember about D-Day was an anniversary when President Reagan, standing on Pointe du Hoc, the cliff overlooking Normandy, where the Rangers scaled that against Germans that were throwing grenades and machine gun fire, killing scores of them. And here on top of the Pointe du Hoc is Reagan giving a magnificent speech the way he always could, with the azure blue sky behind him. And there were maybe 50 Rangers from World War II in front of him that had climbed that cliff. And I spoke with some of those Rangers afterwards, and off to the side were the color bearers, Rangers in the modern uniform. They had just finished the assault on the Grenada in the Caribbean. And I noticed in the faces of both, the older and the younger, were things that never changed. Patriotism and love of country and a steely look that made you feel proud about America. And so, yes, a historic occasion.
And you, of course, you're a former Ranger yourself, so the camaraderie is there. Once a Ranger, always a Ranger, right, General Wickham?
The same with the Marines. That's true.
Well, you know, we were talking, not only one of our guests was talking about her dad and Normandy, but our other guest on the face-off today, Bruce Ashe, the Republican Party chairman, has just come back from Taiwan. He was over there as a guest at the inauguration of the new president in Taiwan, and they want the reassurance that government, that America is still going to stand by the Taiwanese.
Yes, that's right, a woman president, and she represents a view of Taiwan to become independent, and which flies in the face of sort of an understanding that has existed with China, that Taiwan is part of China. And while China does not claim to have an aggressive approach, and the trade and travel between the two are enormous now, it's still a dangerous place there, because there are warships aimed at each other, and the Chinese eventually may very well influence events, as we can talk about later if you wish.
Yes, and Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, who you served under, made it very clear that he was going to support the island of Taiwan, that it was definitely, that island had the full support of the American people and the American military.
And we do provide military equipment, yes, you're right, too much to the consternation of the Chinese, but we're committed to keeping Taiwan as free as they wish, although eventually my guess is there will be a reckoning about Taiwan rejoining China. Look what's happened to Hong Kong.
Yes,
as it rejoined China.
I want to talk about China a little bit. There's a little bit. There is a new book, The 100-Year Marathon, China's Secret Strategy to Replace America as the Global Superpower. I know you feel very strongly, General Wickham, about this book, that it really should be must reading for all Americans, certainly diplomats, but maybe for all Americans. What do you think?
You're exactly right. It's one of the most profound books I've read recently. It's brand new, and written by Michael Pauling, who Mandarin scholar and very well connected with Chinese. He speaks to the Chinese leaders at all levels every week, travels over there routinely. He's been an advisor to all our presidents and national security people, worked in the White House National Security Council, so well-connected man. And the remarkable thing in the book, as the title indicates, China is on a marathon, and China intends to win it. And that's the philosophy that he lays out in the book. There are a number of myths that have cropped up, and we've come to believe them in the West. One myth is that China is going to be just like America, a democracy. Number two, China wishes to play a very constructive role in world affairs. Number three, China does not wish to be a hegemon or leader in the world. All of those myths he debunks. He points out that China is bent upon, with its nationalism, becoming the world leader and surpassing the United States. And they will do what it takes to get there. Their military investment is almost as good as ours in technology. and their trade around the world is considerable. And he makes the argument, how do we deal with that if these are myths? Well, we need to, number one, recognize that China does have a nationalistic view, and that, number two, China does want to be a powerful and perhaps the leading nation in the world. So what do we do about that? We have to build alliances that work together to somewhat constrain China's influence. We need to encourage more trade, more interaction with nations that work with China. And we, number three, we must have very, very good communications with Chinese leaders, and we do now. But he makes some very important cases, and I believe the book is a book that anyone who's interested in world peace and the future of America ought to read.
So the bottom line, do not take the Chinese lightly, correct, General Wickham?
Amen. Do not take them lightly, because, golly days, as you know, Bill, they're a 1.5 billion population. And they will surpass the United States economy in our lifetime.
Wow. 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. From China to North Korea, we'll be talking with General Wickham about the latest about North Korea right after our break at 12:45, exactly at Buckmaster.
Keep your family and pets safe from bee stings. Call the professional pest control team at Five Star. We give you options in dealing with this situation. We can remove them with our special equipment or send them to bee heaven. Call the professional pest team at 886-0045 or visit fivestar-termite.com.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are so blessed to have such great sponsors, including Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. This is the time of year when we have these record temperatures in Tucson that a little road trip over to Silver City and southwestern New Mexico looks really nice. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, basically it's a great way to get away from the heat. The elevation over there, anywhere from about 5,500 feet to 7,000 feet in historic Pinos Altos. So it's a great weekend just to forget about the heat. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Great places to stay, including Pinos Altos Cabins. Welcoming back to the Buckmaster Show, General John Wickham. We've got a couple of callers who would like to speak with General Wickham. We go to the live line. First of all, Rudy. Hey, Rudy, you're with General Wickham.
Oh, hello, Rudy.
Hello, General Wickham. I have a question on, well, what should we be doing in the U.S. to politically, economically, militarily, to match the challenge that China and Russia are offering us today?
Good question.
Good question, Rudy. You're exactly on target, and that's the question our leaders need to be asking ourselves. Number one, I think you'll understand, we need to maintain our solid military. We still are the number one military in the world. And we've got to continue that. That doesn't mean we need a million-man army. I think the army right now, about 450,000 is about right. But we need investment in modern technology. We've got the Warthog down here at Davis-Monthan, a fine close-air support weapon. But guess what? It's a 45-year-old technology. We need new technology in close-air support with drones and other things. And number two, we can maintain a capability in dealing with China by being involved as leaders in world trade pacts and encouraging nations to lower trade barriers and become much more engaged in trade. That will bring China into much more competition with other countries. So I think there are things we can do to maintain our strength with them. Now, China, as you know, Rudy, is exercising some influence in the South China Sea by building islands down there that they claim are not threatening anybody. Well, if they're intruding into international waters and intruding into natural rights of way, we need to begin with the world to bring to bear some pressure against China for doing that.
All right. To the live line again, Matthew would like to speak with General Wickham. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hello, Matt.
Yeah. Hey, General. Currently, we're still in Afghanistan, and the policy as to the troop level in that war zone is under review. General Petraeus and diplomats, former diplomats that served in both administrations, are urging the president to not decrease the current troop level around 10,000 plus or minus to, I think he wanted to get down to 5,000. He's probably... just curious what your thoughts are on that. I'm open-minded on this one as to the fight. I think that they probably need 10,000, but I understand the president has been trying to extricate himself from Afghanistan, too. So just curious what you have your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Excellent question, as always, Matthew. Number one, we are the world's largest sponsor of Afghanistan. We contribute over $14 billion a year in terms of just defense spending. The Afghans they don't have that kind of resource at all to fund their national security. So we're doing it more than any other country. We ought to get other countries involved, like China, for example, Rudy's point, involved. So I think we can play a continuing role. How many troops we need to keep over there is a matter of strategic examination. What are the troops going to do? If they're going to be involved in helping with intelligence, helping transfer information through communications, helping to target bad places, then we can do that. So I don't know that we need to put a magic number on numbers, but I do think we need to keep our numbers low in Afghanistan. There's a tendency to have mission creep, and you have seen that. We've all seen it in other countries. And pretty soon you're asking for more troops. If David Petraeus is involved in here, I don't know what he's suggesting, but my guess, he would be suggesting more. And I'm on the other side. I think less is better, but not entirely zero.
All right, getting back to China and North Korea, could China survive, North Korea survive without Chinese economic support? If they were to cut that off today, they'd be in big trouble, wouldn't the North Koreans?
Exactly. North Korea is a nation of about 28 million. South Korea, about 48 million. And North Korea is a basket case economically. And they have no resources, they have no manufacturing, no natural materials. They have to import everything. So China is the lifeblood for them. And you're exactly right. China provides food for North Korean people. So it is crucial. And that, of course, is the leverage that we can bring to bear on North Korea. As you know, the sanctions that the United Nations just imposed are the most stringent ever that the United Nations has ever put out. And Russia and China both agreed to those sanctions. So they do, those countries do recognize North Korea as a dangerous nation. They've got 40 nuclear weapons, the size that were used in Japan, and they've got the makings of many more. And the danger is that they may proliferate weapons by selling the technology or capabilities. And the other danger is that the South Korean legislature and the Japanese legislature are beginning to say, maybe the time is right for us to have weapons. Donald Trump has said, let them have weapons. I don't agree with that, but that's a danger. And I think we've got to be very cautious in our lifetime here to constrain nuclear proliferation. That's why the nuclear deal with Iran was such a prudent and proper thing to do, although you've got the conservatives in the U.S. Congress that are trying to do everything they can to undermine that agreement. I think
General,
much to the danger of America.
I was going to go back to Japan for a moment. How could they ramp up? How soon could they get, if they wanted a nuclear weapon? It probably wouldn't take them that long, would it?
Excellent question, Bill, as you know better than anybody. The Japanese, with their nuclear reactors, have accumulated enough plutonium, several hundred tons of plutonium. And we're disposing of it for them, but that plutonium could be turned into weapons within a matter of months. The same is true in South Korea. I was involved many years ago when Jim Schlesinger was the Secretary of Defense, helping persuade Park Chung-hee, the President of South Korea, to stop their nuclear program, which he did. And they did it on the basis of the nuclear umbrella that we would provide. But they had the technology, and both of those nations, if they moved in the right direction, I would call it the wrong direction, they would have weapons within months.
General Wickham, again, I want to direct our listeners to OroValleyVoice.com. Really nice article about your amazing career and some of the trials and tribulations that you had over in Vietnam. And you're very lucky to have survived that one night where you were under attack there big time. And it's such a moving, your story, it just moves me, General Wickham. And it's always an honor to have you on the program.
Well, it's an honor to be with you, Bill, and I agree. Memorial Day was just recently here, and it brought back memories of Vietnam. And you're right, exactly. My life was gone, in Vietnam, and the good Lord gave me more time and gave me more opportunities that I could never have imagined. And I've always looked back on those as, here, we've given you opportunities, make use of them for the benefit of the country and the world. And I've tried to do that in a humble way.
Well, we certainly honor your service, and we like to honor it every month when we have you on the program, first Monday of the month. General Wickham, thank you very much.
God bless, Bill.
General John Wickham, an amazing American, and we're very fortunate to have him living in our community and contributing to this radio program. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition on this 72nd anniversary of the Normandy invasion. Coming up this afternoon, for Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw. Ray Allen will be again on the other side of the glass, putting all of that together. Then Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8 in the morning, with Chris and Joe, the Daily Double from 8 to 9. So we do a lot of local talk here. 3 hours in the morning, then an hour at midday, and then an hour in the afternoon. And interspersed with all of that, we've got some great national talk shows right here, including the Michael Medved Show, which follows the Buckmaster program. Until tomorrow at 12:04, hope you have a great afternoon and evening.